Welcome on this 18th edition of the Marketing Technology Podcast. I'm Elias Krum and I'm with the full-service MarTech agency, Marketing Guys out of the Netherlands. Today I'm interviewing Henrik Becker. Henrik has just been appointed Marketing Director Worldwide for NetResults Marketing Automation. They're based out of Denver, Colorado, the US. Well, Henrik, welcome to the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Thank you.
Great that you could have time to be on our show. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, a bit about your background?
Sure. My background is in history. I have a very relevant degree in ancient history.
Ancient history. Marketing, technology, and history.
The Greeks were all over it, trust me. I have a degree in history, and then I was invited by a friend of mine to come work in his business as a marketer. It was in 2010, we started out, you know, building funnels, AdWords, landing pages, emails, that sort of stuff, all kind of gobbled together. And at some point I set out on my own as a sales copywriter, writing landing pages, emails, that sort of stuff. And at some point, you know, a customer asked me, you know, could you help us with the technology to put all this in action? At some point, I kind of stumbled onto this thing called marketing automation.
Okay.
And I decided that was going to be the future. That was about 2015. I got involved with SharpSpring. I got involved with Pardot, and one thing led to another. And I've worked at some pretty big businesses over the last 3 years. And we're still having fun. So.
Okay. So you've got some experience in all different kind of platforms,
right.
Marketing automation tools. You're Dutch.
Yep.
What kind of experience do you have internationally on marketing automation?
So two of the companies I've worked for were international. One of them had a really interesting implementation for Elica where they had 12 countries in one instance.
Cool.
I don't know if it was cool. It was certainly interesting.
Challenge.
Challenge for sure. And then I've worked remotely and online a lot. So I've worked with American companies, Australian companies, all sorts of stuff.
So what we've heard before on the podcast, we've had some American people on the show from the different vendors. What do you see as the main difference, or if there is a difference, between the adoption of automation in the US versus adoption in Europe?
I feel like the Americans are further along. Maybe it's because their market's bigger, the English-speaking market, and in Europe we're dealing with the Dutch-speaking market and the German-speaking market, and it's not like those are small markets, but the English-speaking market is a lot bigger, and I feel like for marketing automation to really work, you need volume.
Mm-hmm. Like the average American SME company has a potential target audience of 350 million.
Yeah.
Whereas we have only 17.
That's right.
So that's 20 times as many customers, potential customers, on your website.
I feel like it's easier for them to get an ROI on the investment.
Okay. Interesting. So they are further ahead? Further ahead in years or month? Or?
Well, the way the pace I've seen this going, I'm probably years. I don't know. I mean, it's... For me, it kind of feels like the further west you go, the further along it is. I don't know how that holds up in the States itself, but you know, I feel like the Americans are ahead of us, the English are ahead of us, then it's us, the Belgians, and then it's like the German-speaking region and everything
okay.
else. Maybe they're further along in Eastern Europe, I don't know.
Okay, I think there are some Eastern European vendors, like Sales Manago,
right.
Yeah, that could be, I haven't got any experience with them, but we are talking about marketing automation, and for us, it's a daily thing, right? So
right.
For us, it's kind of obvious to use marketing automation. Let's step back a little and ask the question, when should marketers use automation at all?
I feel like I just mentioned that volume is important. I think the best application of the software is when you want to scale your marketing. So instead of you responding to emails yourself or uploading contacts or a lot of manual work, you can automate it, which basically means you can automate all your conversations. You can give people the chance to get to know you at their own pace in a digital environment. And you can do that with thousands of people at the same time. So.
Okay, so do you consider automation a typical B2B thing, or is it also a B2C?
I think it started more as a B2C thing. Obviously, if you know, there's more volume in B2C. I think that the main difference for me is that B2C is more about getting that first sale and then, you know, making sure you raise the customer value through upselling and whatnot, because, you know, that's how you use the data. If you've bought this, maybe you're interested in this. For B2B, it's more...
It's a longer sales cycle.
It's right? A much longer sales cycle, exactly. And so it's more about gaining the trust of someone who doesn't know you yet until they're ready to make that usually high-ticket purchase.
Okay. So there's different automation vendors. We're going to talk about that in a bit. You have got some experience with the automation platforms. You mentioned Pardot. You've got some experience with NetResults, with Eloqua, SharpSpring.
Yep.
What's your advice to marketers that are already using those tools?
I would say that I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think I read recently, and it certainly confirms my own findings, that most businesses that have marketing automation don't nearly use all of the functionality. Now, you don't need to use everything in order to be successful with it, but if you're already using it, it really pays off to make sure at least one of your team members is actually, you know, becoming a master at it, because there's probably so much you're not doing yet that'll help you become more successful with it.
Okay, so on the last podcast, I spoke to Olaf Kowalski. He's the head of product management at Acton. Mm-hmm. I asked him kind of the same question, and he had an interesting view on this, because he was talking about the different stages of adoption, like adoption stages. And I think he mentioned that on a stage from 1 to 5, a lot of companies still are in 1 and 2. So they're only using that tool for email marketing.
Right.
So they're only using this for their weekly newsletters, for some segmentation in newsletters, lead nurturing.
Right.
And that's what I see a lot as well. So people are basically using a marketing automation tool as a email marketing tool. Is that what you see as well? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for me, there's kind of a difference between using it to blast out your emails, which is what I also see a lot. So mm-hmm. It's just, you know, they've imported their list, hooked it up to their CRM, and they're blasting emails to their customer base and maybe a couple of prospects. I feel like the next step is really making a move to capturing leads on your website and nurturing them. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, some people are like, that's also really basic, but I feel like it's kind of a big step for many companies, because it does take an adjustment in your thinking about things. So it's not just you blasting out, but it's you welcoming them in.
Yeah.
And email is a very important channel, but obviously that's not all there is. So,
no. So what's the, if there's one thing within marketing automation, what's the key thing marketers that are already using automation should focus on? So what should they start with tomorrow?
I think for me, it would be like if I were to walk into a business right now and they'd ask me to, you know, kind of audit their setup, and they've been doing what you just described, there's probably a wealth of data by now that they've accumulated, and I'm willing to bet that they're not leveraging that data. So there's all kinds of so maybe they haven't implemented lead scoring yet. Maybe that's probably one of the first things to look at. And I also feel like there's patterns in the database that you can, and that sounds really mystical, but it's not.
Okay.
I think there's data points that you can combine, and then, you know, often with lead scoring, you know, you kind of have to retroactively reverse engineer the way the best customers came to you, and then try to figure out what contributed to them becoming a lead. And I think that's a really good thing to look at.
Cool. So, talking about the US being ahead of us here in Europe, and lead scoring, that brings up in me Bombora. Have you heard about that tool?
Or? I have not.
You have not. Well, that's pretty cool. I learned about this tool this week, and they
Partnered up with Marketo.
Right.
And Bombora, more or less, you should look it up online, but it's Bombora in, it comes from the Aboriginal language and means wave. But Bombora more or less does lead scoring based on IP number over several websites.
Mm.
So it gives you, for example, a field of interest, an overview of field of interest, and companies that are, let's say, on a scale from 1 to 100 are interested in this topic.
Right.
So not within your own website, but on multiple websites worldwide. You could, for example, see that General Electric is overly interested in topic marketing automation,
right.
For example. This hooks into Marketo, hooks into different programmatic platforms and social platforms, so you could integrate this in your account-based marketing. So it just,
so you can basically spy them across the web and see what they're interested in. So it's like, is it based on like what their employees are searching for?
Yeah, what they're searching for, which website they visit, etc. So it's,
that's really cool.
It is pretty cool. So,
but it sounds like scraping.
A little, but you know, it's like, for me, it was very interesting to learn about them. You should look them up on Bora. We're going to have them on the podcast as well,
right?
In a couple of weeks.
Look forward to that.
Yeah, it's so cool. So I just learned about them this week, and I was introduced to one of their managers this week, and we had a brief phone call, and they explained it to me and said, "Whoa, this is cool. This is so much ahead of Europe."
Right.
Coming back to your point. that was Bombora. But let's see, because you have this experience in all those platforms, those marketing automation platforms, you obviously have helped companies pick the right platform. So,
I hope so.
What would be the takeaways for you? For the listeners, if we, as a marketer, should pick the right marketing automation software.
Right, pick the right tool. That's
isn't
that the question, right? I feel like the problem with the question is that you don't really know that the tool fits you until you've worked with it for like half a year, especially if you're buying for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It's you don't really know what to expect, and you're going to go buy marketing and you know what the sales guys tell you, and I feel like the best weapon against that is to be really, really clear on what you're going to do with it, and it doesn't mean that you need to figure everything out beforehand, because as I just mentioned, there's so much functionality in these platforms these days that you should expect to grow into it. But I feel like the main advice I usually give is make a shopping list. Have you ever gone into the grocery store and come home with a lot more stuff than you actually needed because you were hungry? I feel like this happens with marketing automation shopping, because people go look on websites and they're like, oh, look at the new this, they can do that, and then they totally forget about the fact that they're not actually going to use that, or at least not for the next who knows how many months or years.
Mm-hmm.
So make a shopping list. Be sure to involve sales and IT when it comes to what they want and what they need, because this is not a marketing only game. In fact, one could argue that marketing is becoming more and more sales to a degree. I feel like it's in B2B especially, it's all about putting the right leads in front of sales. So you got to figure out like, how does it connect to your CRM? That's another thing. Integrations is a really good thing to look at. Make sure you know what the vendor is going to charge you for, because sometimes these integration things can get really out of hand. It's like, oh, you need to pay for like 50 sales users.
I've seen that with recently with the pricing of HubSpot. I'm not sure if that changed, but I kind of was triggered by the cost of the API.
Right.
Because I haven't seen other tools where you had to pay, let's say, $400 or $500 a month just for API
like
integration.
Like beyond basic API calls, like 10,000, or is it more like an
additional cost. It's just additional cost if you want to use the API.
On top of the like a normal number, I've seen that before. But if it's like entirely,
yeah,
that would be new.
Yeah,
I hate to say it, but it sounds like HubSpot.
It is. Well, it's just one of the things that you, because my experience tells me that you're gonna use an API,
at some point
you are gonna use an API. So it's quite important to pick a tool that has an open API. But also make sure what you're telling us is that make sure what they charge you for that.
I'm not actually technical enough to know how or why, but I have worked with enough IT guys to know that the APIs do differ in a way that, you know, I was marketing director at some point, and we were looking to implement, you know, Marketo or HubSpot or something like that. And we looked at the APIs, and IT would tell me, oh, we like this one, we don't like this one. So, you know, that was definitely a factor for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think one other thing I really want to mention is that you should definitely, even though you have a shopping list, you need to not look, just look at the features, you need to look at the company. You need to, because marketing automation is complex, until we figure something out to make it a lot easier, like breakthrough in AI or something.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's complex. You should not expect, or you should expect problems, is what I'm saying. I feel like you should expect to call in support, and it's really, really smart to look at, you know, what kind of company I'm going to do business with, who makes me feel like they're actually going to back me up, and I mean, some vendors charge extra for support or phone support. You know, you have to fit that all into your budget and figure out what you need.
One other thing is that you can buy those software packages directly from HubSpot or Oracle or Acton, Marketo, whatsoever, or through a local partner.
Right.
At what point do you think or advise companies to use a partner?
Well, I think it has to do with the level of tech savvy that they themselves possess. So I feel like if you're going to do marketing automation, you should hire at least one person that's going to take care of the platform. Because like I just said, if it's like an afterthought or something on the side, you're bound to miss out on a lot of stuff and you're paying a fair amount of money for it. So, I mean, I feel like most companies need at least a partner to get them going, if not for just the implementation, but also for the right way of using the software. It's because the thing about marketing automation is, while it sounds like you could just automate a couple of emails and, you know, that's part of it, modern marketing has more to do with the combining the different elements that are there, you know, paid ads or organic listings, you know, landing pages, emails, and it's incredibly hard to get it all right if you haven't done it before, or if your team's just not that experienced. And usually there's agencies out there that know a lot more about it than you. I mean, that's one of the things I tend to do, is that I just, I take that position as a consultant with a company, and they're like, I'm training their people, and I'm helping them get going on it. So I think there's a lot of value there.
Okay. The other thing, what comes up to my mind is, if you're using a partner for implementation, and you've mentioned some software tools like mm-hmm. Salesforce, Microsoft has their own tools. They are used to working with partners, right? So when you're buying Salesforce, you can use a Salesforce partner, a CRM partner with Microsoft. You kind of have to. Whereas I would say implementation partners for marketing automation are marketing agencies.
Right.
Is that's an interesting thing, you know?
It kind of depends, though. I mean, in the Salesforce ecosystem, so to speak, I don't feel that's the case at all. I've done a lot of work where, you know, someone said we bought Pardot, or Salesforce said we should buy Pardot, or we got a good deal, and now
yep.
we don't know what the hell to do with it. Or they would hire a Salesforce agency, which they tend to be fairly technical.
Same with Click Dimensions with Microsoft.
I have no experience with them, but I'll take your word for it. And so they implement the tool technically, and it's, you know, it's all fair enough. But that's not that's not going to get you success, right? That's
mm-hmm.
why, because the marketing agency understands the strategy behind it, and I think much more so than a technical implementation for something like Salesforce. Or like an ERP or something like that, is that marketing automation as software by itself is just not going to solve your problems as much as we would love it to.
Okay, so interesting. So what you're basically saying is, you should, if you're using an agency or an implementation partner, it should be someone that can help you on the strategy side as well as the implementation side.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. So I think we're kind of come to an end to the wrap up here. Is there a way our listeners can reach you online? How they can connect to you online?
Sure, I've got my own website. So it's henrikbecker.nl, which, you know, I'm sure you'll put in the comments or something.
I will. Henrikbecker.nl, yeah.
Because no one can spell it, and that's okay. I'm obviously also on LinkedIn. If you reverse my name to Becker Henrik, you can find me on Twitter. So those are my LinkedIn, Twitter, are my main channels and my website. So.
Okay. Anything you would like to share with us at the end of the interview? Or? Do you want to give us some takeaways that you absolutely want the MarTech podcast listeners want to
know? If you're choosing marketing automation right now, I would urge you to really shop around because there's a lot of choice. And it can be really good to ask people that have done it before what their experience was like, especially in your own market, if you can find them. So because it's different every time. That's because marketing is an art. There's principles at play, and then there's the way you apply them. And I feel like it's no implementation is the same, which is kind of cliche, but it's true.
Okay.
And I think if you can find another business in your industry that's done it, you know, have a cup of coffee with them, ask them what their challenges were, what they ran into, and try and create a good plan for implementing it. The other thing is that I talk to a lot of companies that say, yeah, we want to do something with marketing automation, and it never really gets off the ground.
No.
What I would recommend those companies do is create a pilot. Do a pilot case.
Like a proof of concept.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
cool.
You can, and there's really cheap marketing automation tools that you can just, you know, you can get ActiveCampaign or Drip or whatever for like $50.
Yeah.
And just, you know, mess around with it. Prove to your management, like pick a vertical or a group of customers or a part of your list and come up with a campaign, put it in there, run it. And I've seen that work at several bigger companies where they first did that and then they went with like a large implementation because management was like, okay, it clearly works. So
yeah.
Now we're willing to free up the budget and do it. So
that's some great advice. Thanks, Henrik. Again, henrikbecker.nl. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. Again, my name is Elias Krum and I'm with the full-service MarTech agency Marketing Guys based out of Amersfoort, the Netherlands. You heard an interview with Henrik Becker. Henrik is the Marketing Director Worldwide for NetResults Marketing Automation. If you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our iTunes channel. Thanks for listening and hope to hear you again next time.